97.1 QMG, the best R&B and old school. Thank you, Joseph Lovell, your host of Saturday's edition of Today's Praise. Appreciate you as always. My brother, my friend, my pal, and we are back at it. It is officially the first weekend of 2008. And no better way to jumpstart our weekend edition of Community Focus than by saying good morning, first and foremost. Thank you for always tuning in to the Public Affairs Show that gets the word out and lets you know what's happening in our community. I'm Renee Vaughn, and it's a pleasure to have a newbie of the Community Focus family, if you will, but that title will officially be removed by the end of this broadcast. I promise this gentleman that, and on that note, let me say good morning. And since we haven't seen each other, Algernon, since the start of the new year, it's still fresh.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So saying Happy New Year can still apply in this case.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Happy New Year. I've had a great start to the new year. What about you?
Fantastic. Same, same. And we're going to have a great start this morning. I really appreciate you doing this. Let me officially introduce you, sir. This is Mr. Algernon L. Cash, the Managing Director of Wharton Gladden & Company, LLC. And Algernon, as I was promoing yesterday on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, letting people know that you were going to be on the program with me this morning, I said that your name and your voice may be familiar to a lot of people who listen to our good buddy, Big Bad Buster Brown.
Yes, yes.
Inside the afternoon thing. And I know that you guys get together and you have a financial segment on the show where you typically discuss with Buster financial advice that relates to budgeting, investments, debt, and risk management. So you cover the gamut.
Well, yeah, I try to. Yeah. And we've had a very good time. You know,
good.
There's been a number of people that's been calling in and getting
great.
Some good help. And I've actually spoken to a number of people that's ran into me on the street, and they've said they've been enjoying the segment.
Excellent.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, great. And I wanted it to be more fun. And I won't say I was jealous, but I went to Buster and I said, do you mind if I share Algernon and get him on the Saturday program? And he said, no problem. And of course, we exchanged numbers. We had a chance to actually officially meet for the first time.
At the toy drive.
Exactly. Yep. When we're doing our 97 consecutive hours of giving. And it was good to put the face to the name.
Yeah, it was.
So to speak.
It was. Yep.
Yeah. And
well,
now
he told me to make sure I wasn't leaving him. So.
Okay. No, this is officially going on the record right now. It's that Algernon is not leaving.
Yeah.
You can still hear him weekdays after 2 o'clock. What time are you officially on during the afternoon thing?
I'm normally coming on Tuesday. I know this past week I came on Wednesday and we talked a little bit about New Year's resolutions and those kind of things, but normally it's every Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, great, great. And of course, this past Tuesday was a holiday. It was officially the first day of
that's
the new
right,
year.
That's right.
That's right. So you needed the day off to kind of relax and get your thoughts together. And again, it's so great to have you here on the weekend. Algernon, I'm going to go ahead and let our listeners know because they know the routine around here. Anytime that once we officially get into our topic of discussion, they can call us here in the studio with questions or comments at 336-680-9710. On that note, our topic this morning is on real estate.
That's right.
And that's what we want to discuss in the next several minutes. And Algernon, as we are officially into the fifth day of 2008, and when we look at real estate and we look at the housing market as a whole,
yes,
most of 2007, it was really kind of topsy-turvy.
It was, and actually, a lot of people didn't realize that the housing market really started to turn in 2006.
Yeah.
You know, we started to see some pressure in the housing market and definitely pressure in the mortgage market as well.
Right.
And that just got even worse in 2007. So I know a lot of people are wondering when all this is going to end. So
exactly.
I guess we're going to talk a little bit about that
exactly.
this hour.
Yep. Because I think we had a lot of people worried, especially when watching the news, and not just from a local perspective, but how the picture was shaping up nationally.
Yes.
We were seeing these horror stories about all these foreclosures that were just coming out of nowhere, and people wondering, well, am I going to lose my home? And then on the flip side of that, we're seeing, at least I am anyway, and that just goes to show I watch a lot of television. But I do it to kind of keep up on events, if possible. So I can sound at least halfway intelligent. But in terms of the real estate, I've been seeing a lot of, shall we say, what we call those infomercials.
Yes,
where people are really getting into to the business side of it. And some are able to do it out of the comfort of their own home.
Yes, yes. And we've had a number of changes in the housing market. I mean, a lot of people have gotten into actually flipping houses and doing those kind of things. Given the current pressure that we've had in the housing market over the last, I'd say, 6 to 8 months, it's become increasingly hard if you're trying to flip houses.
Right.
So a lot of investors that were once flipping houses have actually gotten away from that. So I've actually gotten some inquiries from people that have seen the infomercials late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that we still need to get engaged into?
Exactly.
Do we still need to flip houses? And the answer is definitely not. If you're in the housing market, if you're actually trying to sell a house, if you're on the selling side, it's probably a very tough time for you right now. And that's mainly because you've had a number of the lenders get sapped out of the market.
Right.
So we don't have the kind of capital available that we had once before if you actually wanted to buy a house. So then I get the question, well, hey, is it still a good time to buy a house?
Right.
And it actually is. So that's the weird thing. I mean, it's a great time to be a buyer, probably not a good time to be a seller. But then on the buying side, if you're not actually able to qualify for a loan, a lot of the programs that were once available are no longer in the market as well. So we've just had a change in landscape when it comes to the housing market.
Now, for those who are just listening to the program and have probably heard of that term, flipping, can you kind of put it in layman's terms for us, Algernon, and what exactly does that concept mean? And when a person flips a house, what is that person actually doing?
Well, there's a couple of ways that you can go about doing it. And typically what you had is investors that would buy a house, and you know, maybe they would buy your house for $75,000, and then they would turn right around and put the house back on the market for $85,000 or $90,000, and they would make the difference between what they bought it, you know, what they bought it at a couple of weeks ago,
right,
and then what they sold it at, you know, the next several weeks. That's one form of flipping. The other form of flipping is to actually buy a house that needs some rehabbing or needs some work done and actually put some money into it, increase the value of the house, and then obviously go back and put the house back on the market. Okay. Both those methods are very hard to do right now just because you're on the selling side and that's very difficult to do. But the people that were actually not even putting money into the houses and just flipping the houses, those people are definitely been run out of the market because it's very hard to just buy a house now at, let's say, $50,000 and then make that quick $10,000 profit. So that's where the term flipping came from.
Okay. Now, for someone, when I see something like that and I, listening to you, I'm more comfortable with the definition of it.
Yeah.
Now, it makes more sense,
let
me put it that way. Makes a lot more sense. But for an individual, it's not just a person that flips houses here in this area. They can do it pretty much across the country. Is that how it goes?
Yeah,
that's a scenario as well.
You essentially could do it wherever you wanted to do it. I mean, and there were some people in areas like California and Florida that maybe bought houses here in North Carolina and were trying to flip houses.
Yeah.
So it's a little dangerous when you try to go do it in other markets where you're not more familiar.
Right.
You know, that there's an old saying in real estate that it's a locally played game.
Yeah.
So a lot of times what may be happening here in the triad may not be true for, you know, what's happening in an area of California, which is what we're seeing with the current housing crisis, where, you know, a lot of the mortgages that are in default, now this is the piece of the news that you don't hear in the media, a lot of the mortgages that are in default, 25% of those mortgages are actually in California. So, you know, North Carolina, and even more specifically here in the triad, we didn't get the kind of impact from the housing crisis that some of the other markets have gotten.
Exactly, and that's what I'm hearing. In fact, I think we're on the, no pun intended when I say the word, we're on the flip side of that, being that I think we're, for North Carolina, we're actually in a little better position as far as the housing market.
We are. When you rank us against some other states, you know, when you look at the states that probably got hit the hardest with the housing crisis have been areas like California, Nevada, Texas, Florida. And what you've seen in those markets are run-up in prices that were just unsustainable. Some home values had actually tripled in value in some of those markets. So that those appreciation rates that you just can't sustain. Here in North Carolina, we didn't have the same kind of rate of appreciation. So since we didn't have such a rapid climb to the top, we don't have a hard fall back to the bottom either.
Exactly, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say we were kind of spared.
Yeah, we were.
In a sense. But it's a good sparing nonetheless. 336-680-9710. Want to welcome those of you just tuning in to the weekend edition of Community Focus as we do jumpstart a new year, 2008. I'm your host, Renee Vaughn. Got a great guest with me. I tell you, I think we're just going to have to officially remove that title in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Algernon L. Cash, the Managing Director of Wharton Gladden & Company, LLC. Topic of discussion, real estate. And if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, you know you are more than welcome to reach us here in the studio. Algernon, again, for those who may not be familiar with you being on the show with Buster and are just hearing you for the first time, tell us a little bit about yourself, your history, and especially how you got into the position where you are now as the managing director.
Sure. I actually started my career with Citigroup Solomon Smith Barney as a wealth banker. So I used to help affluent clients manage their money. So in order for you to come into my office, you had to have about $1 million in investable assets. So that was a lot of fun, and I helped a lot of people make a lot of money. But had some clients that were private investors that wanted to get into the business of buying and selling whole loans. So like buying and selling mortgage paper, buying and selling securitized credit card receivables. So we ended up starting Wharton Gladden & Company in 2003 to facilitate that. And Wharton Gladden & Company now is actually a real estate investment banking group. So what we do day-to-day is we actually structure debt as well as equity for apartment buildings, shopping centers, office buildings, those types of things. I still remember when I got into all this, my mom, she had called me up and said, hey, can you refinance my house? Or I've got a friend of mine that needs to get their house refinanced.
Right.
And I don't refinance houses. I told my mom, I can do it if they're going to buy a neighborhood or something like that. But we typically do very large projects. We've done probably right around $125 million in commercial and multifamily real estate loans. And we're actually launching our first private equity fund next year that we'll actually use that equity to make real estate investments. We'll probably leverage that fund about $50 to $60 million in assets. So having a lot of fun, young and still having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's great.
That is great. And it's a great position to be in, and a great involvement that you have, not only with the private investors, but with the community as a whole in terms from the business side of things. And speaking of your association and your civic organizations, and by the way, thank you for sending your bio to me. I just wanted to read some of the things that
I tried to reduce it for you because
that's okay. Kind of like when you're sending your resume, they always
keep it short for you.
But no, just some great stuff that I wanted to share as far as just last year, you accepted a board of directions position with the Piedmont chapter of the National Association of Industrial and Office Properties.
Yes.
You have been instrumental in planning and organizing the first annual Triad Dealmaker Symposium. Talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, we last year in October we did the Triad Dealmaker Symposium, and it was actually it was an event I had went to a couple times before in New York when I went up to some conferences, and they would do these dealmaker events where people were able to come together and just basically talk about deals. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool, and was wanting to figure out how we could bring that back to North Carolina. And I had mentioned the idea to a few associations that I'm a member of. And they were all interested in participating and being part of it. So we organized all six of the major real estate associations here in Greensboro, which was the Apartment Association, NAIOP, the Real Estate and Building Industry Coalition, and all three realtor groups. And we came together, all six groups came together to host the Triad Dealmaker Symposium. First time all six groups came together to do an event, and it was the first regional real estate event here in our Triad area. It was a half a day event. We had speakers from New York, from Atlanta, talking about capital markets, talking about the marketplace in general and what's going on with real estate. We had well over 200 people in attendance. So we had a great time, and that was actually in October, and we're going to make that a reoccurring event. This upcoming year, we're actually in the process of putting together a bus tour. And this is an opportunity for people that live in our Triad area. If you want to learn a little bit more about Winston-Salem or High Point, right, you can get on the bus tour and you can actually go around and visit these areas and see some of the things that they have going on. Because I think that's the one of the greatest things about living here in the Triad community. We've got three great cities that are doing, you know, they're all doing their own great things.
Exactly.
And it just makes our area so unique.
That's just a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. Now, when are you looking to actually put this in motion?
The bus tour will be probably in the fall. We did the Dealmaker Symposium in October of last year,
okay,
and we're thinking we're going to keep the events in the fall period of time. So, you know, keep your ears open, because I'm sure I'll mention it on Bust the Show, and I'll be back here on your
Absolutely.
Show too, and make sure I mention it again. But it should be a lot of fun, and we want to get as many people out from the Triad as possible to jump
exactly,
on the bus.
Exactly, and a great opportunity to go ahead and mention it at the start of the new year, so that by the time that fall rolls around, because these months, before you know it, it'll be fall.
It will.
The way the time just keeps flying.
It took me a year to plan the original event.
Yeah. Wow.
And I remember getting up the morning when I was getting ready to go in to the day of the event, and I was taking a shower, and I was like, wow. I said, I've been working for 12 months for something that's going to last for 4 hours.
So. Exactly. But the turnout and the... I'm sure it was a pleasant surprise to have the number of people who showed up to support
it. It was.
Yeah.
Especially for a first-year event.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly. So a great time to go ahead and plan and to mark it on your calendar. And once we get the detailed information, like you said, you'll spread the word, both with myself and Buster. And, you know, I will try to do what I can on my end as well to get the information on the station website. I always want to encourage people, go to the website, anything that's community-oriented, to get
sure.
people. Because they're always like, there's nothing to do. I got to find a way to get involved. And I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. Absolutely. And, of course, 2008 so far into, again, our fifth day has been doing well for you.
It has. It has. And one other thing I'll mention, when we announced the Dealmakers event with Busta on the radio the last time, he was promoting, I think it was Denzel Washington's new movie or something like that.
Was that one, American Gangster?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay. Well, he was promoting that, and we were talking about the Dealmakers event, and some people actually showed up thinking that Denzel Washington was going to be at our event.
Wow. I was like, well, Algernon, we know you're good. And who knows? It could happen one day. It could happen one day. But, you know, you got to think big.
Yeah,
that's the way to look at it.
You never know.
That's right. Absolutely. 336-680-9710, the weekend edition of Community Focus. Algernon, we got about a couple of minutes before we go into our first break of the morning. And getting back to our topic of real estate, and a lot of people are starting the new year. They're into the new year where they've made all these resolutions where they want to, of course, this is a time where we want to make the big changes in our lives. We want to see the improvements. And for a lot of people, you know, that is when we speak of debt and we think of the financial situation that we're in now, which may not be good for the majority of us, and we want to move over into being in a position to where we can make some money. And for a person who may have been thinking about getting into the real estate business but might have been a little hesitant, what advice would you give to that individual to kind of, you know, give them that little extra push that they may need to go ahead and pursue that and to get into that direction?
You know, I would say whether it's real estate or whatever direction you want to go in 2008, where, you know, you want to start a business or you want to get into whatever you want to get into, just don't be afraid to just put yourself out there. Step outside your comfort zone. I mean, that's when changes really start to occur.
Exactly.
A lot of us are oftentimes afraid to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. But in order to get outside of your comfort zone, in order for change to happen, you've got to feel uncomfortable. And if you're specifically considering going into the real estate business, to be honest with you, we are in a tough time right now in the real estate business. We really are. I'm probably one of the individuals that's most positive about what's going on in the market, only simply because I think you look at everything that's going on in the news and you hear about all the different reports about the market and what's happening and all the doom and the gloom. I think it gets very easy to find everything that's bad that's happening. That's
right.
The easy stuff.
Yeah,
to find.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what's good about it? Where's the opportunity in all this? I wouldn't necessarily tell someone not to get in the real estate business, because I think there's always opportunity for someone if you come in the market. But it is a challenging environment right now. It's not the same real estate market that we had 4 or 5 years ago, where everybody was buying a house and there was easy credit and those kind of things. It's a little bit more challenging now. So if you do come in the real estate business, be prepared to make yourself unique, because in the real estate business, that's what people buy into.
Right.
It's not Wharton Gladden & Company, or it's not Coldwell Banker, or it's not whatever company flag that I'm flying that day.
Exactly.
It's the individual and themselves.
Right.
It's what makes the transaction special. So.
Very good point. And I think Buster is the one who might have started the motto around here. And I've been into that position where I really like this, and I've been kind of spreading the word, is that we're going to make it great in 2008. I love it. I love that. 336-680-9710. Good morning. Welcome to Community Focus. How are you?
Yes. I was wondering about tax foreclosed homes. I had a question about tax foreclosed homes.
Yes, sir.
How to purchase homes in Guilford County. I've seen a listing for the site, but I'm trying to purchase a tax foreclosed home in Guilford County, and I was wondering what steps do I need to take since they don't post them?
Yeah, there should be a website that you can go to for Guilford County. And what they normally do is they do an auction. And that's where you would actually be able to go purchase the home if they were auctioning it off. Are you saying the county took it back because it was because of a tax lien?
Sir, are you still with us? We may have lost him due to the...
Or it sounds like he's got a bad connection.
Yeah. Well, we can just get that call. Hopefully, Algernon, he'll call us back. And maybe he's just listening right now.
Well, to expound on his point... that is a good way to actually buy rental real estate if you have an opportunity, is to buy homes that have obviously been foreclosed on because they owe taxes on them.
Right.
Because typically what you can do is just pay off the tax lien, and then you can take control of the home. And sometimes, to be honest with you, and I hate to say this, I hate to even see it happen, but sometimes the tax liens are not that much at all. I mean, they're a couple $1,000s, and people end up losing their home because they're not able to come up with the a few thousand dollars to pay their taxes. So,
right. So it's a matter of really doing the homework, bottom line.
It really is. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what caused this current housing or mortgage crisis that we're in right now. And you know, we'll hit on a few points, I guess, yeah. as we make it through the hour. But, you know, one point that I'll mention right now, one of the main reasons why I think we're in the crisis that we're in right now is we had people that were going into homes or being approved for homes, and maybe in the past they never even, you know, knew that they could get a home, or they've only been renting, so no one's ever taken the time to educate them about anything.
Exactly.
About why it's important that you pay your taxes and your insurance and some of the expenses that you can expect if you go from renting to owning. Like, you're going to have to take care of the maintenance of the house and the lawn and those kind of things. So I think just poor education for a number of people has led to the current crisis that we're in.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Algernon, because I have had guests who kind of tie into what you do, either from mortgage lending companies. And like you say, education is the key. And that is the great thing that I love about this show, is that I get individuals like yourself, individuals from other companies who, indeed, when it comes to making one, perhaps one of the most important investments in your life,
it is.
And that is buying your first home.
It is.
And we always try to stress to the first-time home buyers. And that's why I say, do your homework. Go to somebody that you feel comfortable with asking, because, as my grandmother would say, there's no dumb question.
No,
there's no
there
wrong
isn't.
Question.
There isn't.
It's when you don't ask questions is where you run into the problems.
That's right.
And not, like you say, educating yourself and being familiar with the market and know what's going on so you don't get way over your head. I think that's one of the roadblocks that we run into, is that we take on more than we can chew initially.
We do. We do. And I think that's what's happened to a number yeah. of people. I mean, you've got people that were all of a sudden able to qualify for a home. They didn't have to put any money down. They got 100% financing. Maybe they didn't have the best credit in the world, but lending had become so relaxed, just about anyone could actually qualify for it. But what should have accompanied some of that is some education.
Yeah.
This is what you're getting into. You're about to buy a home. This is some of the things that you may need to expect. But I don't want to discourage anyone from making that decision, because you're right. It's the first decision that you're going to make that's actually going to start you to building some wealth. When you can actually say, hey, I've got my own home, and when I make this payment every month, a portion of this, yeah, it's going to the lender, but a portion is actually coming back to me. It's the best way to actually make yourself, you're forced to save money.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, let's take our first break of the morning, right. Algernon, and let's come back with some more education, because we're going to do a whole lot of that in 2008. We got all these mottos all over the place, but it's a new year, and we just want to make sure that people start off the new year on a good note.
Sure.
And as the late Godfather Soul would say, we're going to start it on the good foot. So let's do that. Thanks, folks. We're going to take our first break, and again, we're going to come back. Again, my guest this morning, Algernon Cash, the Managing Director of Warden Gladden & Company, LLC, the weekend edition of Community Focus on the best R&B and old school, 97.1 QMG.
The hardest working man.
You don't have to be the hardest working man in radio to get nominated for the Tom Joyner Hardest Working Award, presented by Allstate beyond February. Just go to blackamericaweb.com and nominate extraordinary people who go beyond expectations. It could be your favorite crossing guard, your favorite cashier at the mini mart, your favorite mechanic, or anyone who always works hard at what they do. The Tom Joyner Hardest Working Award, presented by Allstate, beyond February.
Wake up to the Tom Joyner Morning Show, weekday morning, 6 to 10, on 97.1 QMG.
If seeking out post-holiday steals and deals has become a treasured part of your holiday tradition, listen carefully. Announcing the lowest prices of the season on the original Sleep Number bed, just $799.98. On one hand, you get the comfort materials you would expect from any great mattress. On the other, you get something that's beyond comparison. The Sleep Number bed adjusts firmness at the touch of a button, so you can personalize your comfort. On each side, for each sleeper. The effect? It's like floating on a supportive cloud. The result? Less tossing and turning, more deep, comfortable sleep. For years to come. After all, a Sleep Number bed is made to last twice as long as a traditional innerspring mattress. So come in soon, because a sale this good on a bed this good is the one thing that won't last.
Sale ends January 6th. For the store nearest you, call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com. Plus no interest and no monthly payments until 2009. Find us at Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem.
Four Seasons Town Center in Greensboro, and Alamance Crossing in Burlington.
You've unwrapped your Christmas presents, and most, if not everything you asked for.
Oh, this is just what I wanted.
Was under the tree. Yes, that beautiful Christmas tree, full of lights and decorations. Now that Christmas is officially over and you're preparing to put away those decorations until next year, take a moment to think about how you will discard your tree. Well, the city of Greensboro will pick it up. Just remember this, that all ornaments, lights, the tree stand, and all other Christmas tree items must be removed. All trees over 5